I'm Diane Yousling, and a lot of you don't know me, some of you do, but I've been coming to some of you since August, and not that long. And I love some of you. I just absolutely love this church. I love the pastors. I love my small group. And I love the things like this we can do as women. I mean, this is fun, girls. I just really love some of you. With that said, Courtney and Linda McDowell asked if I would be interested in sharing a time in my life about a season I had. And I've had a lot of seasons, I'll just back you up a little bit. I've been with this movement of churches, this Great Commission churches, for over 40 years, and I am so thankful for it. Now, I will try not to do this, but my small group already knows this. I kind of bawl easily, but anyway, forget it. But I have grown, I have fallen, I have taken steps forward, and I've taken back steps backward, but by the grace of God, I've always believed God had good for me, and he has. Not without struggles and trials, but he's always been good, I know. So they asked me if I would start out first the day with just sharing from the Word about a woman or anything that I wanted to about how God was good in the Word. And so since it was a women's time, I thought, well, I'm going to concentrate on women. I've got to figure this out here. This I know, God is very faithful. Now I got to figure this out. Here we go. The verse, or I maybe go this way.
Or I can do it for you.
Maybe you do that. Let's read this. I'll read it to you. You don't have to read it. It's kind of small, but I'll read it to you. This is in Luke 2, 36 and 38 through 38 in the New Living Translation, and it's Anna the prophet is who we're going to look at. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. This is when Mary was going to have Joseph. So my first point, Jesus, thank you. Whoever said that. So we're going to look at Anna the prophet. I have three different points with Anna. The first part of the verse said, her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. So she'd only been married 7 years. Okay, first, who knows when Anna got married? She could have been like me, got married in her mid-30s, or she could have gotten married in her 20s. Or Jane, I have a friend that just got married and she's in her 60s. And how God has blessed in different ways. But do you ever think in your mind that she was only going to be married 7 years? I doubt it. And the first thing Anna does, you think about that sometimes life isn't what we expect. Even, you know, you've been waiting to get married. She may be waiting to get married, and she'd been worshiping God for a long time. And God gave her a husband. And then she became a widow in 7 years. Life is not what we can always expect. But we can always expect God to bless. So that's the first thing. Sometimes life isn't what we expect. Number two, it says, then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. So when Anna the prophet became a widow, did she throw in the towel and say, this isn't what I signed up for? This isn't worth it? I can't keep going? Not. But to be honest, I've done that before. I've thought that. I've thought, this isn't worth it. This is hard. Thank goodness, I've told God, and I've told my husband, Jay, numerous times, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth it. But by the grace of God, God and my husband knew it was just let me vent, and it was a fleeting thought. And this is how Anna, she did not allow it to become a permanent thought either. She was dedicated and devoted to God. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night. She was a dedicated, devoted lady to God. She was all in, no matter what the cost was, no matter what happened. I like that about Anna. I like that, first of all, that she didn't put expectations on God, and when she got thrown a curveball, she hung in there. Number three, Anna the prophet was very thankful. Just another thing you have to remember. She was delighting in the Lord. As a result, she was thankful. She was delighting. She was expecting God to come through with Jesus. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Joseph and Mary, and she began praising God. She wasn't saying, oh, this will never happen. I mean, I don't know if you've been there, but I have been. Oh, this can't happen. She didn't. She trusted in God, and she was expecting God. And she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God and to rescue Jerusalem, and he did. So what did Anna do, the prophet do? Because she was dedicated and devoted and delighting in and praising God, she was able to talk with everybody and excited with everybody else. She wasn't like, oh, it came through. She was like, hey, God came through here. She opened her mouth and she couldn't help but speak and praise God about the good news, announce the good news of Jesus. She kept believing God would come to the rescue, and he did. God came to the earth and he rescued us. So this is just one example. I'm going to show you a couple others. This is the main one I want to remember. Life sometimes isn't what we expect. Anna was all in. She stayed in the temple and worshiped, and she kept believing God. She didn't just sit there and moan and groan, but she kept believing and expecting God to come to her rescue. But there are other women, and I'm just going to briefly go through these. You can look them up later, but these are women that you know in the Bible. The first one is Miriam. You remember who Miriam is? Moses' older sister. Okay, she had remarkable confidence. She not only helped to save her brother's life, but also helped set Israel's deliverance into motion. Now, just for your FYI, I'm not going to all these, but supposedly she was only like 6 years older than Moses. So here this Miriam is in the Word, and she's only 6 or 7 years old. That's pretty impressive. The next one, everybody knows about Deborah. Deborah the prophet and judge to Israel, known for her wisdom, her courage, and her compassion, and zeal for justice. She was the only female judge. She had a career. She was the only female judge named in the Bible, to my knowledge. And here's Deborah. You can look at the story of Deborah in Judges 4 and 5. The next one we all know, too, Ruth. She's the widow. She's the widow that she said, where you go, I will go. And she left her people to be with her mother-in-law and to do what God had set before her. Next one, Esther. She modeled bravery and courage beyond what I could even imagine. And she risked her life to save the lives of her people from annihilation. The book of Esther. She was born a Jew. So she was the oddball out. She was born a Jew. So we're kind of all, some of us can be oddballs out. I'm kind of one of them, but she was a Jew. The next one, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus. What is she? An unmarried pregnant lady. But she surrendered her life and took on the humility and of God and delivered Jesus. But she was an unmarried mother, lady. And then we have the Samaritan woman. The woman at the well became one of the first mass evangelists for Jesus. And who was she? She had been married 5 times and was living with another man. So she's now living with a man and been married 5 times. We all have different, coming from different areas. And the last one, Priscilla. She ministered together with Aquila, her husband. She was married. So we have all kinds. We have the girl, the six-year-old girl, I don't know how old she was. Deborah, the Jew. Ruth, the widow. Deborah was the judge. Esther was the Jew. Mary, mother of Jesus, an unmarried pregnant lady. The Samaritan woman, been married five times and was living with another man. And last, Priscilla and Aquila, working together as a married couple. So no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, God can use you, and he can be faithful with you. I just wanted to share that to start out with. There's a lot of women in the Word that you can learn from. So now, Courtney and Linda asked if I'd do this story. And when I told them, I said, well, I've seen it, I've done it, I'm learning it, but I'm still loving it. And I meant that. I have enjoyed and still do enjoy this journey. I really do. It's not always been easy, and it's not always been fun, but I have been with it. I would do it over and over and over again. I'm thankful. I'm very extremely thankful for this movement of churches that I've been involved with since college. I thought I'd share a little bit about the last 40 years and show you how the places God has taken me. First, I went... Oh, well, I'll show you these pictures. Go ahead. There's four here, Carrie. I come from a farm background. I mean, a real farm. The one up at the top left, I'm showing a bull. Or I'm holding a bull. I'm not showing him. But it was one of my bulls on my dad's farm. And then that one on the right, I don't know when I was... I'm feeding the calf. The mama's right there. My dad is always in all these pictures, practically. And then over on the left, I'm getting ready to show a calf. I did show cattle. And the right, over there with my yellow parka, that's what we used to wear when it got cold in Iowa. But anyway, my dad would grow Jolly Time popcorn. And sometimes we'd have leftover ears of corn. And we'd take the corn kernels off, and I'm getting the chaff out of the corn is what that is. Anyway, so I just want to show you where I came from. I am nobody big deal. I'm just a farm girl. But I went to Iowa State. I went to Iowa State first. What is on that slide? I don't know. Oh, okay, I became a Christian at a young age. Thank you. I first became a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. And I became a Christian at a young age. And then I went to ISU, Iowa State, and I got involved in, I'm going to just quickly go over these ISU Bible studies about 40 years ago. And then I went from Iowa State, and then I'm going to tell you these stories, on a missions trip called Mission 20 in 1977. And then the next, I moved to Gainesville, Florida, on a church plant in 1979. And then I moved to Washington, D.C., and that wasn't a church plant. That was a large church there, but I went up there. Then from Washington, D.C., I moved to North Glen, Colorado, and then from North End was with the church plant there. And then, okay, you see all those? And then I got married, finally. But anyway, and I went to Lincoln, Nebraska with my husband, was there 10 years. Then we came back here to Aurora. And we're involved with the church in Aurora. And then now, I'm at Summit View. And so I'll show you these things. I'll give you a little bit of history on some of these things. The summer after I graduated, our church went on a team called Mission 20. And I'm not sure how they come up with all these names. It's probably 20 different mission teams. And I'll back up one more step. I forgot this. I'll back up a lot. But when I went to my first ISU Bible study, and I'm telling you these stories for you to understand that it's all these little touches, you just can't believe how they make a difference in the rest of somebody else's life. And but I went to ISU Bible studies. A friend of mine asked me to go, and I went, and I grew up in a church. It wasn't until my senior year in college that I decided, oh, maybe I should go to church. And I went to church on Sunday, and I didn't know, there's a big group, and the friend that invited me, he wasn't there. But Rick and Neva Whitney were. And Rick happens to be from my same hometown in Iowa. And Rick and Neva came up to me. Neva had interviewed my dad before because of the cattle. And Rick came up, they came up to me and invited me that morning to their small group that night. And ever since, I've been with this church. So that one, I mean, don't be shy about asking people to come out. Because it was, Rick and Eva asked me for that night. I went, and I never turned back. Anyway, the summer, that was just before my last year at Iowa State. And then the summer, after I graduated, we went on this Mission 20 trip. And it was went to Columbia, Missouri. If you guys have a chance to go on mission trips, do it. It's phenomenal. But anyway, we went on this. We had a ragtag team, maybe 15 of us. And what they did was they sent out 20 teams throughout different local areas. Those days, when you went on a mission trip, you didn't do fundraising, and you didn't get a job when you did your mission trip. You open your checkbook and go, okay, this is how much I have, and let's go. And we did. And we didn't. We went by faith. And what we did when we went to the Missions 20 in Columbia, Missouri, we ate together. We stayed at a farmhouse fraternity. And this farmhouse fraternity, what we did was we got paid to, or not got paid, we were able to stay there free because they partied all night and then just left with half glass bowls and stuff, stereos and everything. We just had to clean it up and we could stay there. So what we did is we cleaned it up, we ate breakfast together, we prayed together, and then we have our five spiritual laws track. That's what we used to use. It was a five spiritual law, and we'd go out on campus two by two every single day and share the gospel. And we'd come back and we'd give our reports. And then we'd fix supper, and then we'd do it all over again the next day. And so we did this for 6 weeks. And by the grace of God, we saw about 50 saved, which is pretty amazing. I mean, if you knew who we were, especially. But it was pretty amazing that we saw 50 saved. I mean, I was, Julie Kavanaugh, Julie Johnson at that point, was on that team with me, and I asked her, I said, how many do you remember getting saved? She goes, it was either 48, 50, or 51. Okay, so I'm going 50. And so we were there 6 weeks. Again, we had no jobs, and we were thinking to go there for 6 weeks. Well, we came back, and our team had seen a lot of people saved, so the pastors decided, why don't you go down there again and see if we should plant a church down there. And so we went down there. We went back down there. This time we took a couple elders with us that we had, pastors. And this time we rented, I mean, we had no money. I mean, I ate copious amounts of peanut butter and leftover daily, what do you call them, day-old donuts. And but we rented a house. The girls had one room. The guys had another room. We laid out our sleeping bags, and we slept in these rooms. And then every morning we had our little suitcase. We got up and we went to campus and showered on the campus. And then we went out sharing for another 2 weeks. And that's what we did. And not that team. That's good though. this one was another ragtag team. But anyway, and then we came back and they decided not to plant that church. And so that was fine. But I tell you, if you have a chance to go on a missions trip, you can't beat it. I mean, it's an experience that it can be hard, but it's worth it. It's been fun to see somebody change from death to life. It's phenomenal. In the spring of the next year, the church, the Ames Church, decided to plant a church in Gainesville, Florida. Now you can put that one up. This is our ragtag team in Gainesville. Okay, I'm going to go with my... Okay, back up here. You guys that are 40 or whatever, there's Josh Whitney. There's Rick and Eva Whitney right up here. And there's Josh sitting in Dwayne's, and then Mandy Whitney's right there. This is, right over here is Julie Kavanaugh, or Julie Johnson. Here's Tim Kavanaugh. And then I'm there with the big glasses. But that was our original team that went to Gainesville. And this is where the rubber meets the road, big time. We had, some of these people had gone to Florida Bible Church and they'd come to Ames to kind of see the church out. They were coming back. And then there was a few islands. You can count it, but you won't know who's who. But I will note something else in here. Jay's not in that picture. Number one. Number two, there are 10 single women and 7 single men. And some of those single men didn't speak English. But anyway. Let's see, where was I at? But we went in faith, and this was a permanent situation. We knew that. And I'm going to tell you another story, and you'll understand this as I speak a little bit more. But I don't remember this at all, but Jay tells me this. I don't remember at all, but I, on campus, just before we left, I had my promise, and I saw him on campus. And I knew Jay because he was also from my hometown. I met a younger man. But anyway. But I met him on campus one day, and I shared him my verse. I love his bald head. Anyway, I shared him this promise I had that said, you know, and I was going to move. And he says, oh. I mean, into himself, he said, well, that's maybe some, that's quite a girl. But I was headed to Florida, and that was it. But now there is no longer a large church. Ames was a pretty good-sized church. There's no more where if you didn't like your roommate, there's a lot of choices. If you didn't tithe one week because you had a bill, guess what? The guy next to you wouldn't, you know, they might have a big deal too. If you didn't tithe, nobody tithed. I mean, if you didn't go out, Sharon, that's who we'd be for the next so many years. Then that's where, like I said, the rubber met the road. Or you couldn't just get in a car and drive to your parents' house a couple hours away. And now I will digress again. Well, I'll show you these pictures and then I'll digress. Go ahead to the next one. So here's a little farther. Pray for more humility. This is a poster we had. I think we sent back to our churches. And so we're growing here. And then you can show the next one. And then we get more. And now you know there's a church down in Gainesville, but that was at a camp. But I wanted to share you a promise. The only reason I believe that I've made it this far, one of the reasons, is because of God's promises. And when I moved to Florida, I was very close to my mom and dad. When I went to college, I didn't pay a cent. I didn't pay a cent. In fact, my dad had given me a gas credit card and a clothing credit card. So whenever I wanted, I just did this. And I didn't pay a cent. And I graduated from Iowa State. And that's when we decided to move to Gainesville. And I'd been offered a job to teach. But I was determined. I had thought that this is what God wanted me to do. My dad and mom came, said, can we come and talk to you? Yeah. And they said, can you just give us 9 more months and a teaching year? And I just said, no, I just believe this is what God wants me to do right now. And I really believe I need to go to Gainesville. Again, my dad had paid every penny of my college education, and I was not in want. And but I believe God wanted me to go. And I think it's in this next slide, the verse. I claim this verse. Everybody knows it, Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my namesake will receive 100 times more with eternal life and will inherit it. And I just believe that. I love Iowa. I love the farm. I love my family. But I just also believe that God wanted me to move to Gainesville. It was very hard on my family. I hurt my mom and dad dearly. And my sister then at that point came up to me and she said, she's 2 years older than I am, she said, you can go to Utah, you can go to Russia, I don't care. But you're no longer a sister of mine. And because she knew how much I'd hurt my mom and dad. And today, just FYI, we're best of friends. But at that point, I didn't know if I'd ever, ever would have a relationship with my sister again. But through the grace of God, he does miracles. And we are just, I mean, we call him back and forth. I love her dearly, and we have a very good relationship now. By the time I left, I had no idea that's what was going to happen. Because, this is one of my points, I had made a personal decision to follow Christ and had my promise that I literally based my life on and left my family, and which was not easy. It was very hard. But God did bless. God blessed with my family and God blessed with my sister. But at the point that I claimed that verse, there was nothing visual that I could see was going to happen. I'll tell you another story. I know there's singles here because a lot of my life I've been single. This in Gainesville. Again, you know, we go out sharing, we grow the church, but the rubber meets a road when in relationships. And I had a roommate. And I'm exaggerating a little bit here. But at one point, she would say, you know, I think your hair needs to be parted the other way. And if I would say, it naturally goes this way, she would say I would be proud. You know, I mean, because I would respond back from her reproof to me, you're being proud. And anyway, it would go like this often. And then she would tell somebody else that, you know, Diane is proud. And I'm like, and I'll never forget, I was in Dallas-Fort Worth. Okay, I was going from Gainesville to Iowa, flying home, and I always tried to find the cheapest flight. And so I had a layover in Dallas-Fort Worth for 5 hours. And it was just at this point, we had gone this way, this way, this way. And I sat in that Dallas-Fort Worth airport and I said, this is not worth it. I don't need this grief. I don't need this grief at all. And I sat there for 5 hours and I mean, I contemplated, I'm just going to go home. I'm going to get my teaching job and I'll be close to my family and this will be great. Because I don't need this. But then, Kimberly, you'd be proud of me. I thought about this verse that I'm supposed to have memorized by tomorrow. I don't know if it was this verse, but it was a similar verse where it said in Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured from sinners hostility so you might not become weak or faint-hearted. And I contemplated what God had done for me as a person, how he died for me. You know, I never sin. And so none of the reproof was valuable. But here Jesus had not sinned, and they scorned him, and he died for me. Who am I to say when somebody, if I'm wrongly accused, that I should throw in the towel? And that day at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, I decided I'm going back, and if I never am understood right, if I am nobody, if I get told I'm proud, I'm just going to say, God, you know my heart. You know who I am. If I need to change, change me. And I gave it up. I know these are just little things, But there are watershed moments in my life, the personal decision that I had to make that said, you know, God, this is not any fun, but I'm still, you. What you did for me, how you died on the cross for me, who am I to complain and whine and throw in the towel? And that was one of my watershed moments in life. Besides, at that point, mom and dad, and then my roommate. And so, but again, that decision was because I had decided to follow Jesus, no matter what or who was involved, and the scripture helped me see that. And so you have to have that personal decision yourself to follow Jesus, and then you got to have some scripture or you'll never make it. So I lived in Florida 5 years, and then Rick and Eva were down there all that time. And then after Rick and Eva, then I moved to D.C. Rick and Eva asked me if I would move to D.C. with them. And so I did. I mean, I moved up there. And I mean, this is how naive I was. In Gainesville, it's like Fort Collins. You can bike around, especially year-round down in Gainesville. And so my car was on its last leg in Gainesville. And so when Rick called me up and asked if I would move up with him and Neva, I said, yeah, my car's on its last leg, though, so I'm just going to, we're moving to D.C. I said, I'm just going to bike to work. You don't bike to work in D.C. I mean, this is, like I said, this is how naive I was. And anyway, Rick, bless his heart, if you know Rick and Neva very well, and Josh and Mandy, they're all, from Josh on down, they're all the same way, but he said, oh, sister, you go ahead and sell that car. We'll take care of you, but you won't be biking to work. And so I moved up to D.C. I was in D.C. then. And now I'm in my late 20s, early 30s. I dearly, dearly love Rick and Eva Whitney. I mean, and all seven of their kids, from Joshua to Becca down to Becca. But I was single. And I was there. I was there. I wanted to serve Rick and Eva and their family, but I was still single. And so I enjoyed being with people. And so I found that the church there was very large. It had about 450 singles. And but I found a small group to get involved with. And all these people in this small group, okay, there's people from all over United States that went to D.C. to kind of formulate some things. And they end up, I was with a small group from Ohio. I'm not sure even how I got involved in that small group. I may have met a person in church and said they could come, and I went. And they all knew each other. They all had background because they came from Ohio. They had all the same leaders from Ohio, which I didn't know. And I could have at that point said, forget this. I mean, or not forget it, but they all know each other, and I'm the outsider. But I decided, at that point in my life, too, I knew that Rick and Neva would not stay in D.C. very long. That wasn't the purpose to stay there. And so I knew that we wouldn't be in D.C. very long. And I had decided at that point, too, that I could just either just serve Rick and Eva and do my thing, or was I going to actually sacrifice and get involved with people? And I was serving, I was loving, and I was going to church, but I had decided that I'm not going to get involved that much because I know I'm going to be leaving and I'm just going to get hurt again. And but again, then God, this is another watershed. These are just little things, but they made a difference in where I'm at today. I thought, wonder if God comes back tomorrow or next, you know, in 6 months, and I'm just not giving it all. What? Who am I that I'm not giving it all? And I did not want to be caught red-handed not giving it all. And so I decided, I'm going to just give it all. And then if we leave in a year or two, whatever we leave, so be it. And then I'll leave Frank again, that's fine. And so I gave it all, and I made a decision as a single. I would do it, and I did it. And it was a big deal, again, for me to make that decision. I could have sat back and just been a good Christian gal, but I decided to give it all, and that I'm glad I did. So then I lived there 4 years, I guess. I can't remember how long I was. I mean, yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm 4 years, and then keep going there. Then I got to tell you this one real quick, and then we'll get the application. We went from when I went to Lincoln. Okay, we moved. Rick asked me to go to Aurora, so I went to Aurora, or not Aurora, North Glen. At the same time, then he asked Jay to come, and so I'm 34 when I get married. And I just want to tell you, through those years, I had met a lot of single men. And the verse I was thinking about was Jeremiah, well, the verse I claimed then was 32:17, where it says, "There's in the Amplified, it's really fun, there's nothing too difficult or too wonderful." And I knew that I could get married, because you meet a lot. And but I was very thankful I waited for something not too, that was wonderful, not too difficult. Because God can get us married to anybody. But gals, you single gals out there, don't just settle. Go for the gold. And I just want to tell you that. It's nothing is too difficult or too wonderful. Okay, so I'll go to the, anyway, there's three things in my life why I've made it this far. Number one, you have to set it. You have to make the personal, private decision, personal, determined decision. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. Second thing, you got to have these or you'll never make it. I've had promises, promises, promises throughout my life. And the only way you will ever make it is rely on God's word. And that's how you can see mine are well-worn because of God. You have to have your promises. And the last one, you got to link arm in arm through the thick and the thin, the ugly and the good, with others. Because don't be a loner. You have to be with others. Sometimes it just happens. I was in church planning and I did all these different moves and experiences. It's faith to stay, faith to go. But no matter what you do, you have to do these three things. You have to make that personal decision. You have to have your promises. And you got to be with others, arm in arm, no matter what goes on. That's my story.